This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I was lucky to be exposed to ballet, but I decided that I wanted to do it, and I think that's what made me come to where I am now, rather than just stopping it and being like, okay, I think I had enough.
This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture. I'm Lim Soon Heng. Ballet dancers are a rare species. While we do find several ballet schools in the country, they are mostly filled with pre-teens, handful of teens, and then suddenly no more. So it is indeed something special to have a professional ballet dancer, a male one at that, coming from our country and who dances within that genre. Of course, ballet is the foundation of dancing for many contemporary dancers. But dancing ballet professionally? Jeremy Gan is here in Kuala Lumpur. He dances ballet with the Singapore Dance Theatre. Welcome.
Thank you.
You have said that while you can't remember when you started ballet, you were told that you started about 2.5. What is your earliest memory of dancing?
I honestly can't remember. I don't have a specific memory of when I started dancing. I just have this kind of like a photo album, like a compilation of like I've been dancing, if that makes sense. Like breathing, like you don't know when you actually started inhaling, but you know that you've been breathing your whole life. So yeah, I remember I had this picture of me mid-saute, mid-jump, and I had my hair like flying up, and I remember I was in this weird swimsuit thing because there wasn't clothes small enough for me at the time. But yeah.
If I were to ask to go through your own memory banks, what would be the first image that you have of yourself that you are aware of that you are dancing?
Probably I would say when I was standard 3, standard 4, so I would, about 9 to 10 years old, about that time, when I was in a leotard and shorts and socks and shoes, like actually in proper ballet wear already. So I would say that would be my earliest memory that I could recall at the moment. And it was just me in class with a whole bunch of other girls, and I was just enjoying myself in class.
When you say you were in a class with a lot of girls, wasn't there another boy there?
No, it was just me all along.
Being a male dancer, especially when you're in standard 3, was there any kind of teasing?
Yes, there was teasing, but it wasn't hurtful teasing. It was more like inquisitive teasing, like, oh, you dance, rather than, oh, you dance, you know? So it was, yeah, so kind of... Because, as I said, I remember dancing from young, and my friends kind of knew that as well. My teachers knew that. And sometimes for maybe graduation at the end of the year, or when they had like some random event, sometimes they'd be like, oh, do you want to just do a short dance for us? And I'll be like, okay, fine. And then so I would dance on stage, and so it's quite hard to cover up that you do ballet when you've actually performed in front of your whole school. So everyone knows. So the teasing probably would come from new students who entered the school. So like when I was standard 3 or standard 4, and then a new kid comes in, I'd be like, oh, you do ballet. And then I have all like my old friends backing me up, going like, yeah, he does ballet. So yeah. So it wasn't really much of a bullying. It was just like inquisitive teasing, which became nothing after that.
You said that you were 12 when you decided that this was going to be a career for you. This was when you went to Melbourne summer school. What was it about dancing there that precipitated this idea that this will become a career?
Okay, I always used to be quite a weird kid from young. Not weird like something's wrong weird, but just like I like to be different. And so I remembered I liked old stuff, and I was the type of kid who would listen to 80s rock, like kind of like not what the mainstream kids would do. And then yeah, and then I went to that summer school. It was held at Ormond College. And then the whole scene of it was kind of Harry Potter-ish, where it was like old and like old buildings. And like that gained my attention for one. And then when you actually did the classes, and then you're like, oh, I'm actually dancing the whole day rather than just doing a class for 2 hours or 1.5 every week. Like you were doing it every day, 5 days a week. And you see all these new people and you're like, oh, with dance, I can actually travel. You know, because when I was young, before I knew I wanted to dance, my idea of becoming an adult or becoming successful was still within my own area. And now I was like, oh, yeah, with dance, I don't have to stay in my hometown, I can actually move with dance. Like, dance actually helps you to get to different places. And so that was like, I was like, okay, with dance, I'm now in Melbourne, I'm enjoying myself, I'm doing this the whole day, I'm meeting so many new people. I'm in a very old building and I like old stuff. So yeah, so that's why I was like, I'll dance. And then, so that was kind of like the first spark. And then after the summer school, then I had, so when you're on, you know, on the flight home and all, then you were actually sitting about, you're like, oh, because I'm also the type of person who would overanalyze. I would spend a long time deciding when I want to buy something, that kind of thing. So yeah, I spent the next week just thinking whether, yeah, do I actually want to dance? And then I was like, oh, actually, I do want to dance. So that was the first spark at the summer school. And then the week after, it was me actually thinking about it. I was like, okay, yes, I actually do want to dance. It wasn't just a one-off thought.
Did you tell your parents? Did you tell anybody?
I told my ballet teacher, my mom. I was like, mom, I quite enjoyed it. And I would actually like to take it as a profession and not as a co-curricular activity. My mom was like, are you sure about this? I was like, yes. She's like, you know it'd be hard. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And she's like, okay, let's begin.
From there, I have two questions. One question is, what about ballet that attracted you? Or what about dancing that attracted you to the point that you are willing to make it a career?
It's not a conventional career. And I like the idea of it being different. And I like how it's hard to pinpoint one specific thing that makes me want to do it. It's just all these like little things that join together. So it's the fact that your office is sometimes the backstage of a theater, how you're not confined to a cubicle to work from 9 to 5. You get to actually move around in a huge stage and you get to travel, and how your idea of work could potentially be someone else's like fun thing, because like people go for dance classes to enjoy and here you are dancing as your job. So it's something that, yeah, I was like, cool, I'll do it. And that's what I liked about dancing. I liked how you could actually just like fly through the air, how you could have these moments where you feel like there's not a worry in the world and you're just there doing your stuff and there's people applauding for you. Yeah.
A lot of people say, yeah, you know, he's dancing because he was exposed to it when he was young. But I'm also aware that you can expose kids to broccoli. They won't necessarily take to broccoli.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky in the sense that I had a head start with learning ballet. But I've also heard of like my, like, because my mom's circle of friends would have other ballet teachers. And I have heard stories of them trying to teach their kids and it not working out because the kid doesn't want to do it. So I think ultimately it's up to the person, him or her, themselves, whether they want to do it as a career. And so I'm quite thankful. I was lucky to be exposed to ballet, but I was, yeah, I decided that I wanted to do it. And I think that's what made me come to what I am now, rather than just stopping it and being like, okay, I think I had enough.
You know, live performances is something kind of niche. Ballet or dancing is even smaller, and ballet is a subset of all these very small activities that people participate in. Does it help that you are a male dancer amongst a sea of female dancers?
It helps you to be seen slightly easier because you are different from the rest, because they're all ladies, girls, and you're the only guy. But I've always been taught from young to always stand out for the right reasons. So like, try to stand out in class because you're good, not stand out in class because you're doing everything wrong. So it does help to some aspect, but after that, it's just your own work and your own, it's what you make out of it. You can't just be like, I'm a guy, so I will like succeed because I'm a guy. You can't just bang on the fact that you're just a male in the ballet world.
Is the path for a male harder or easier?
Different. A guy has to partner girls. The girls don't have to learn how to partner somebody, but then the girls have to go on point, and the guys don't have to learn that. So it's very hard to say which one is harder and which one is easier. It's just you learn different aspects of the technique. You have to learn different things. So, it's easier because you'll be the only guy in the room. It's harder because
ballet is not accepted as much for a guy than a girl. So it's the same, really. It's not like one it will be easier or harder than the other.
In terms of status, do ballerinas have a higher status than male dancers?
No. Well, in terms of courtesy-wise, when curtain calls and all, the lady always stands at the front. But in terms of status, we're just all equals. In terms of recognition, people would see girls doing ballet more than a guy doing ballet.
That was Jeremy Gan, a Malaysian male ballet dancer with the Singapore Dance Theatre. The dance troupe was in KL back in the last weeks of March, performing three different programs, a modern and a classical, and one especially for children titled Peter and Blue Birthday Party by the artistic director Janek Shergen. In the modern ballet, Jeremy danced in Sticks and Stones, choreographed by Kin Sun Chan, and in the classical ballet, he danced in Coppelia, and he also danced in the Peter and Blue Birthday Party. Coming up, the downside of being a professional ballet dancer, and what's life after? This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, you're tuned to Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. When the Singapore Dance Theatre Company was in KL on its annual outing to our country, I caught up with one of the dancers, a Malaysian, Jeremy Gan. Jeremy started ballet very early, helped much by the fact that his mother is a ballet teacher. He's a graduate from the New Zealand School of Dance and in 1927 joined the Singapore Dance Theatre. In the first half, Jeremy tells what about dancing attracted him that he turned to it as a career. But what makes a ballet dancer say, I don't want to get out of bed this morning? What's the hardest thing about your career?
When you wake up in the morning and your body doesn't want to wake up. When your mind says, I'm going to go, and your body is just like, wait, I had a long night last night. Yeah, I think that would be the hardest thing when, I guess that's with every other job as well. When you want to do it, or some days when you just think you had enough of it. Yeah, that's what I would consider the hardest part of my job. But then I also have friends or acquaintances who I know who are in different professions, different lines, engineering and maybe accountancy or like office jobs. And you hear that they have the same problems as well. So you're like, my job's not that hard.
A lot of people say when it comes to a job, the repetitive activities are the ones that are boring or mind-numbing. Are there such things in ballet?
Yes, but they're not mind-numbing. They are repetitive because you are doing the same format every day in class. But they're not mind-numbing in the sense that you just zone out. Actually, kind of help you focus for whatever is coming later on in the day, rehearsals, performances. Because if you zone out from doing a mind-numbing activity, especially in a physical environment, you will get injured. So it's quite hard to just zone out and be like, I'll just go through the motions. Then you will end up getting injured. So, but for me, I find that with ballet class, even though it is repetitive every day and you do the same things, or it might be in the same style, or it might be the same steps, it is still very fresh every day. It's not something that you kind of zone out and just go through the motions.
Being a male ballet dancer and being a Malaysian in a country where very few ballet dancers, even fewer male ballet dancers that are seen, and the fact that you are in KL and you're dancing and you're seen, is there any kind of weight that you feel you have to carry?
There is a certain amount of weight, and I try not to think about it when I'm performing, but there definitely is a certain amount of weight because you, like especially the people in the audience have seen you from young. They've seen you when you were a little kid. They've seen you before you went overseas to study. And now they've seen you back as a member of the company. And so it is some sort of responsibility to show them that, look, this is where I am now. I'm with a company and all. And it kind of helps to inspire little kids to look up. I remember after the first show, I think it was the first show, and then I went out of the theatre after that because I was done, and then there was this little kid, and all she did was just this, she just opened her mouth wide and just looked up at me, and then that's when it actually hit me that, oh yeah, they actually look up at you. And when I was a kid, I used to look up at the members of SDT because they would come every year to perform,
And I remember I would be in the audience, and I'll be watching them perform, and I would be, I want to be up there someday. And now it's kind of like the other way around, where people are looking at you and going that I want to be up there someday. So it is a slight responsibility to help inspire the next batch. But I try not to think about it when I'm performing.
Going back to the dance itself, in the context of classical ballet, what makes a particular dance interesting? When we talk about choreographies, most of us who are non-dancers would think of this a matter of series of steps. When you're doing a play, there are roles and you get into character. Does it work the same way for dancers getting into character? Or is it a matter of getting the forms correct?
Getting into character in some aspect works. Okay, especially for like SDT, you do so many different repertoire. You do neoclassical, there's balancing, there's contemporary, there's full-on rolling on the floor, there's standing upright in a classical ballet. So some pieces you are assigned a person that you have to be. There is a person that you have to kind of like absorb and become you. So traditionally in classical ballets, under the casting list, they'll be like, okay, you are a village man, or you are in Seguidillas. You know, there are things that you've assigned, so you have some sort of idea of what you are. But then in other rehearsals where you're understudying or when you're doing things, and it's like rubies, and it's, you are not somebody. You're just either the core or the lead. You know, you're not assigned a specific person to portray, but there is a specific style to portray. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In the first program, Sticks and Stones, the only thing that we could absorb was to just be this ritualistic, animalistic thing. And so that's when you put yourself in it and you show more of yourself, because there's no specific person that you have to absorb that character. So, but with normal ballets, then maybe there is a character that you have to absorb.
I'm going to ask a question that comes perhaps from my own ignorance. You know, when I see ballet dancers or I see dancers on stage, sometimes I think of them also very much like gymnasts. To what extent are you different from a gymnast?
We are similar to gymnasts in terms of physicality, where it is a physical thing that we have to do. But I feel with every, it is quite different. We do it on a stage in front of someone, right? I mean, because if you do gymnastics, you are in like an arena and everyone's around you looking at you. That's usually how the layout is. And then with ballet and all, you are on one side completely and you look out into the audience. And I used to find it very funny when I was a kid that like if there was no audience there, just how everyone is just facing one wall of black darkness. Yeah, and so that's with ballet, it's always facing one side to an audience rather than around them. And it's not so much about, I mean, it is to some extent like, look, my leg can go up there, but it's not so much, my leg is up there. It's more of like how the leg is shown getting up there. It's more of the artistry involved. It's more of, you know, the little nuances that as what the previous question was about character and all. It is about all the little nuances. It is how the makeup is a bit different. It's all these little things that make ballet different from gymnasts. Yeah, because gymnastics, it's a sport. Yeah, and whereas this is, you don't call dance a sport, you call dance performing arts. So it is to perform.
What's lined up for you? I know you're still very young, but what's lined up for you after dancing?
I'm still not sure. I'm still not sure. Part of me wants to... It really depends. Some people, they choose to do dance and then they choose to like finish dance. So after they finish their career as a dancer, they would stop completely and move on to something else. Some would move to a career field that is somewhat related to their previous career. So physiotherapy, something like that. Some, yeah, because it involves with dancers and all. Some choose to stay on. I'm still not too entirely certain because it is still a bit too early to think about it. My parents have been telling me to maybe study for next time if I really choose not to dance anymore, which I don't know. But yeah, I might study for something part-time, per se. But I'll probably stay on in the industry because it is a cool industry to be in, because not many people could be part of this industry. I quite fancy the idea of being like a ballet master kind of thing. Not so, because people are like, oh, do you want to teach after you finish dancing? And I'm like, I don't want to deal with kids. So I don't really see myself as a teacher teaching kids, but I could see myself maybe helping to teach professional people, not so much dealing with kids. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks.
Jeremy Gan, a Malaysian, dancing with the Singapore Dance Theatre. He was here with the troupe when the company took residence at KL Pack for nearly 2 weeks, offering not only workshops to young ballet dancers, but under the umbrella of Ballet Illuminations 2018, also offered three programs in Pentas One: a neoclassical and contemporary ballet weekend, a children's ballet titled Peter and Blue Birthday Party, and capping it all off with a weekend of classical highlights from Coppelia, The Nutcracker, and Don Quixote. Jeremy joins a line of professional male ballet dancers like Andrew Pan, Ng Teck Voon, Brian Chan, and Raymond Chai. We will probably hear more about these dancers from Joseph Gonzalez, who has a wealth of knowledge on the history of Malaysian ballet dancers. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.